And so it's just amazing how God is helping us train people to go around the world to preach and teach his gospel. And you know, and a lot of times we don't realize that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. We don't realize what God is doing around the world. And you know, I can give you a glimpse, but you know, it's only a glimpse. But you know, what's interesting too is I always take the scripture, you know, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I take it literally for me. But you know, I know it's not just for me. We need to pray for people to go around the world. We don't all go, but we can all pray. And a lot of times we don't think about that when we're our little cozy little house, you know, with our cozy little family, that there are people that are not in a cozy little place. I mean, I just talked to one of our Raymer graduates the other day, had dinner with him actually the day after I got back from Hong Kong. He's on his way to Nepal to camp out because there is no hotel or anything to go. He's on his way to Nepal to see what they can do to help those people that have been ravaged by the earthquake. You know, some of our Raymer grads are going out there, you know, because, you know, I told people sometimes ask us, well, why don't you guys have orphanages and why don't you have this and why don't you have that? And the Lord told me, you know, because we train visionaries to go do that. We train people to go out and get a vision to go out and touch their world and their country. And so these guys are headed, some of the Raymer grads are headed to Nepal to sleep in tents and to see what they can do to help hurting people. You know, and we don't realize that you know, they didn't have anything to begin with, a lot of those folks. And now they don't have anything. I mean, you know, now understand, you know, we're very familiar with destruction and tornadoes around here and people losing their business. But, you know, like it or not, we have FEMA, we have the Red Cross, we have people that, you know, that come in and, you know, and help you, nothing else, with low interest loans and things like that. They don't got nobody. And half the time, whenever people, you know, give these governments aid, the people that are in power keep most of the money. Doesn't actually get to the people who really need it, which is a sad thing. But the fact of the matter, there's people that are hurting, and then they need somebody to help. And you know, praise God that you know, we're helping train people to go out and help people. And you know, that's an amazing thing. But you know, the harvest is truly plentiful. There are a lot of people out there that have never heard the gospel. There are a lot of people out there that don't know who Jesus is. And I know sometimes it's really hard to think about, you know, in Oklahoma City, you know, well, I pretty much go anywhere and people know who Jesus is. You know, if nothing else, I think it's a cuss word, you know, because, you know, so, but the fact of the matter is we need to be thankful in everything that we do. We need to be thankful that we can live how we live. And a lot of times I know it's not Independence Day. It's not, you know, anything. I guess we celebrated Memorial Day. And some of you maybe don't know that Memorial Day is the same day they celebrate Buddha's birthday. So I don't know if it's ever Memorial Day, but I do know that when I, because I was in Hong Kong Memorial Day, and they said, what's a holiday? I said, what holiday is it? I said, Buddha's birthday. I'm like, well, what kind of holiday is that? You know, but if I was living in Hong Kong, I'd take the day off. I mean, you know, I'm not going to celebrate his birthday, but the day off would be fine. Although I found out it's only a semi-holiday because a lot of people in Hong Kong still have to work. So I guess some people don't want to celebrate Buddha's birthday. So shame on them. I'm not sure. Anyway, so I asked the question. I said, does it always fall on Monday? And someone said, yeah, it always falls on Monday. So it's kind of like, so I said, does it always fall on Memorial Day? It's kind of interesting. I need to Google that. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But anyway, Ephesians 5:20 says this. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we should always give thanks to God. And I have found out, you realize that people with the least freedom in life tend to give more thanks. I mean, these Chinese people tend to be more thankful for what they're learning, what they have. You know, than us, you know, in America, who have all these freedoms, we don't tend to give as much thanks. In fact, you'll see a lot of Americans are mad about what they don't have. I mean, we all know it. Maybe one of us, maybe that's us sometimes. You know, and sometimes we all don't realize that we get selfish sometimes. We don't realize that we're about ourselves. But you know, a lot of times Americans are all money-minded about, you know, because we believe in what we have makes us who we are. But what you have doesn't make you who you are, because you can't take it with you anyway. What you have on the inside makes you who you are. Knowing who you are in Christ is really who you are. Because who you are doesn't really matter, but who you are in Christ matters a whole lot. Because if you know who you are in Christ, then you can overcome anything. Any obstacle or obstacle, my dad says. You can become anything. You can make it through anything because it says it's through Christ that we get our strength. And that we are strengthened through Christ. If we know who we are in Christ. But you know what? We should thank God in the good times and the bad times. It doesn't matter. We should still thank God. Regardless. They say, well, things aren't going well. Well, praise God anyhow. James 1 says, count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations and trials and circumstances and difficult times, to count it all joy. And my grandfather always said, you know what? James never said it would be joyful. It says, act like it's joyful anyhow. I know Keith Moore, one of our former teachers or alumni at Rhema, you know, he's the one that did our graduation this year. Actually, his message was really wonderful and really short. His message was, God is faithful. There's nothing better than that, man. If you can remember that God's faithful, that'll get you through a lot of times. Because a lot of times, whenever you think that nothing's going to happen, just remember God's always faithful. Great message. But he has a song that he wrote, a little chorus, called Hallelujah Anyhow. Never, never let the devil get you down. You know, it doesn't matter what your problems are. It doesn't matter what's going on. You know what? In all things, we should give thanks to God. We should give thanks to God that we have it better than a lot of people in life. You know, I mean, just in times, you know, there are right here in, you know, in Oklahoma City, you know, the tornado capital of the world. I mean, you know, yes, we should feel bad for those folks that had tornado damage. You know, even, you know, it's pretty hard to say, well, it's only an F2. Yeah, but if your house got destroyed by an F2, who cares? I mean, I've actually heard that statement. Well, you know, it wasn't an F5 or anything. We're talking about only an F2. Yeah, but there's, you know, five houses get destroyed by an F2 or an F2 hits, you know, tornadoes have a GPS toward trailer parks. I'm not sure what it is, but there's like, tornado has GPS. And so, you know, they hit trailer parks and, you know, I'm joking about that, but it just seems that, you know, but, it, you know, an F, you know, I was up doing tornado stuff, you know, up in North Oklahoma, and, you know, it was only an F3. Well, the F3, I saw roofs completely, you know, that actually were supposed to be here that were over there, you know, that, you know, did a lot of damage, you know, so just because, but we should be thankful. Now, number one, you know, we should go try to help our brother, but we should be thankful that God protected us. You know what? And even if you get hit by a tornado, even if everything gets destroyed, be thankful that you're still alive. You know, because we can always rebuild. You know, and just be thankful that you know God. Because a lot of people, they don't know God. They don't have any hope. They don't know what they're going to do. But I tell you what, it's interesting whenever, you know, going out and doing, you know, helping people going through a tornado. It's interesting to see how the difference of people who are Christians and non-Christians deal with that kind of situation. I don't know how many times say, well, you know, it was bad, but praise God, we're still alive. Praise God, we're still healthy. No, you know, none of the family or none of our neighbors got hurt. You know, tore up a lot of houses, but you know, thank God for a lot of people come and help us rebuild. So, you know, but we should be thankful no matter what. And be thankful that you know, we are allowed to have freedoms. To have freedoms that, you know, because I really never thought about that. Whenever during prayer time, praise and worship time, you know, that I have freedom to praise and worship God. And, you know, and I like to praise and worship God. But I don't think about that there's people in China that can't do it. And, you know, because now the way the Chinese system, it's a little bit different. You know, there is some more freedoms in some places than there are others. A lot of it depends on, you know, it depends on the provincial government. But a lot of things, it's not that they don't like Christians. In fact, you know, they don't like, you know, they said that, well, they don't like it when more than 25 people organize doing anything that they don't have control over. It's all about control. You know, because you realize that, you know, when people get together, sometimes someone gets a harebrained idea, you know, and it can cause problems. And so they don't, you know, they don't like it when people organize, and so they don't like it when, you know, so if you are have an organized meeting or whatever, you know, if you're making too much noise or doing stuff, that puts a light on, and you know, so people are trying to figure out who are these people and what are they doing. I know when I was there, actually it was a meeting I was supposed to be doing, and they decided not to let me do it because of, you know, there was a lot of scrutiny going on at the time when I was in Beijing, and so the gentleman doing it was one of the Chinese guys, and so they came into his service, and so at that time that they were appointing a new leader, I say they're electing a new leader, but they didn't really elect a new leader. Basically, they all met together and they appointed a new leader, and so what he did, actually, we talked about this. What he did was when they came in, there were some guys that came, looked kind of like the Secret Service, that kind of came in. And so immediately this pastor, he just said, you know what? You know, we need to thank God for our new government. You know, we need to pray for our new president. He said, in fact, right now, let's just all get together. Let's just pray that God will direct our new president and help him. And you know, and we're just so thankful for his direction. And as they began to pray, those guys got up and left. And so then he got back to his message. You know, because what are they going to do? Well, we went to this church and they were praying for the president. I mean, you know, everybody, you know, needs prayers. It's interesting when people, like I said, I was joking around on Facebook, Christians, non-Christian, when it, you know, if they're going through an issue on Facebook, they're, hey, everyone pray for me. Everyone pray for my family. You know, so you know, they didn't do anything, you know, because they said, well, these guys are just praying. But it's interesting that where we take things for granted, you know, quite a bit. Now, a couple more verses I want to read on being thankful. Let's see. So that was Ephesians 5. Then over in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says it this way. It says, rejoice always. And, you know, I always say this is that, you can't rejoice if you never had joy to begin with. All right? You know, Paul says, I finished my course with joy. So he had joy the whole way. You realize that Paul was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was battered. You know, really, he took the 39 stripes multiple times. And he finished his course with joy because he was excited because he was doing what God had called him to do. All right? He had joy, you know, in the middle of everything. Some people say, well, you know, brother, you can have joy in the morning. Well, you should have joy in the middle of your morning. You know, there, you know, we can have joy. We should rejoice always. We should always have joy. Now, it's not always going to be joyful. You're not always going to have happy times. Man, you're going to have times in life that doesn't seem really nice. But you know what? We can rejoice because we know who holds the future. Amen. And we know that God's still in control. You know, we know that God's faithful. We know we can trust God. We know we can, you know, lean on his everlasting arms. We know we can trust him with all our heart and that he will lead and direct our path. But it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Now, I always tell people, you know, so pray without ceasing doesn't mean you need to pray for 24 hours a day or whatever. But we should, you know, my grandfather always said, you know, be mindful of prayer at all times. You know, have prayer in your heart. You know, I pray, there's certain things I pray for all the time. Not necessarily I pray 24 hours a day, but I'm always thinking about them. And I'm always, you know, giving thanks for them and praying for them. But it says in everything, give thanks. Meaning good times, bad times, you know, because usually we're only thankful for whenever something happens that was really extraordinary. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, we live in a generation that doesn't seem to be as thankful. Do you realize that? And a lot of times we blame the kids, but you know what? Doesn't the kids get it from us? So maybe they don't see us being as thankful. Maybe they don't see us as being as thankful for our husbands and our wives and our parents and stuff. You know, maybe they say, well, yeah, but I am thankful. But, you know, a lot of times we don't tell people we're thankful. We live in a generation that doesn't necessarily tell people they love them. Would I love them? Yeah, but we don't always, you know, say it. We don't always, you know, say how we feel. You know, sometimes we're too busy texting or, you know, or whatever we're doing. And don't we just text people you love them? You know, it's one thing to text someone, you know, to actually tell them. You know, don't be, you know, we should be more appreciative of people. When people do things nice for you, man, appreciate what they've done. You know, say, hey, I appreciate you, thank you. Even if it was a small thing, you know, we should appreciate the small things. You know, I mean, even if it's, hey, you know, they bought you, you know, a cup of coffee, they were at Starbucks and they decided to pick you up an extra cup of, you know, well, thanks, but we should really be thankful. I mean, they were actually thinking about you. You know, a lot of times almost like we expect it. Hey, well, if you're going, then pick me up one too, you know. I'm not going to pay you for it, but, you know, pick me up one. You know, but we should be thankful when people do things. Now, I will say one thing. My middle son, Blake, he's always been very thankful for what I've given him. You know, it's interesting because sometimes I give all the kids the same thing. He's usually the only one that comes later on and says, thank you. You know, now I don't know if it's a ploy or not because I'm willing to do more things for him because he's more thankful. So, you know, sometimes it might be psychology or whatever, which is stuff I would have done too. I'm pretty good about it. But, you know, even mindful, a lot of times when I write stuff on Facebook, you know, and things, and, you know, I'm very thankful for people that are, like I said, I'm thankful for people like John and Cindy that are willing to go to places that a lot of us wouldn't want to go, you know, willing to be away from their family, willing, and they're not just in the main city in Bangkok. They go out to some other places as well that they don't have a Papa John's pizza and things like that. You know, man, I'm thankful for people willing to go, like, you know, and go camp out in Nepal, you know, with no running water. And, you know, like the one guy said, you know, Craig, I drink a lot of water and fresh water. So basically he got one of those little packs or whatever that you can put, you know, water in and supposed to filterize it or whatever. Hopefully it works. You know, that and you believe God. But the thing about it is, you know, thankful for, you know, that there are people that are willing to go out and do those kind of things. But, you know, I think that we need to be more thankful of people, more thankful of things, but more thankful to God for giving us the ability, you know, and the authority. I mean, thankful for the name of Jesus. You realize that at that name, that demons have to tremble? Thankful for what we have through Christ. Thankful for you know, that we have knowledge. You know, the Bible says people perish for lack of knowledge. Thankful we've been taught. You know, thankful that we know our authority. And if you don't, we've got some really good books out there that will help you. You know, and know who you are in Christ. Know your authority. Know what you can do. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's will that you give thanks. You know what? And I believe, I don't think, God's not a selfish God. I think God would rather us give thanks to each other than, you know, now we should give thanks to God, but I don't think God expects it, although we should. You understand, you know, when he's saying give thanks and everything, we should be giving thanks to each other. We should be more thankful to one another for when and people do something small for you. I mean, thank them, you know. Act like it's a big deal. Maybe if I act like it's a big deal, maybe they'll do it more often too. So you never know. You know, like I've heard stories. People come home from vacation and someone mowed their lawn. You know, the next door neighbor said, "Well, I was mowing my lawn, so I had to mow yours too." You know, well, that's a pretty good deal, especially here recently because there's only been a few days you can actually mow a lawn, unless you have an underwire lawnmower. As some of you know that we race cars, and some people have been telling us maybe we should get into boat racing because maybe, you know, we can actually do it more often because we hadn't been able to race. Actually, there was one track open in Oklahoma. We were able to race on Saturday night. We were supposed to be racing a lot, but it got rained out. Everything's been getting rained out, and so we've been having monsoon season. And now what's really sad about it is they go to Hong Kong, and they really were having monsoon season. It rained every day it was in Hong Kong. I mean, like, really hard rain. I mean, like, it was like, you know, the only thing that was different in Hong Kong and this rain, it was hot and sticky over there. it's been kind of cool here when it rains, but over there it was hot and sticky, and then after it rained, it was even hotter and stickier. You know, and you know, I didn't see any rainbows because the smog was too bad, so no rainbows. But we did see the sun one day, so, you know, it was but only part of the day because it started raining right after that, so... Now, what made it bad is a lot of the places over there that I went, a lot of the shopping, well, they're shopping malls, you know, obviously, but a lot of places for souvenirs and stuff are all outdoor markets and stuff. Well, you know, it's not, shopping an outdoor market in a torrential downpour is not very fun, much less most of them, a lot of guys decide to close their stores, and, you know, in torrential downpours because it's no fun whenever all their stuff is getting all soaking wet. So sometimes maybe we should be thankful. Maybe, you know, also sometimes we might be thankful for the rain that we need the rain, but we should be thankful when it's not raining so we can actually enjoy a nice day outside. Yeah. You know, we should be thankful for the big things, thankful for the small things, but in everything we should thank God. One more scripture, I want to read, and I read this quite a bit actually. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6, says, "Be anxious for nothing," or meaning, don't be stressed out about nothing, you know, which is something I believe that's a scripture that every Christian should read all the time. Man, you know, when things stress us out, we need to know, what does the Bible say about it? Because if the Bible tells us not to be stressed out, then it means if we're being stressed out, that's contrary to God's word. Do you realize that? Now, people are not trying to be contrary to God's word. It's just, it's overwhelming. But, you know, the things that are overwhelming to man are not overwhelming to God. You know, the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. It's overwhelming if you don't know who you are in Christ. It's overwhelming if you don't know your God. But Philippians 4 is talking about it shouldn't be overwhelming, because when stress and stressful situations come, you should know what to do. Don't stress out about it, but what should you do? It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. See, we should pray, but we should also be thankful. You know, be thankful. Be thankful for what we have. Be thankful for what God's doing in our life. Be thankful that we have it good. It says, with thanksgiving, we should let a request be known unto God. You know, but then the next verse says, and at that point, when we do that, not when our needs are met. See, many people, they read these scriptures, they think, well, once my needs met, this next scripture is going to come in line. No, after we've stressed out, after that we've made our request to God, after we've been thankful, it says, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. But that's before you receive the answer. Do you realize that? See, some people are waiting, say, well, once I get my answer, I'm going to have peace. No, you have peace in the middle of your storm. You know, you don't have to wait for the answer to have peace. You say, well, how's that work, Craig? How does that work? Because it says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you're never going to understand why. In fact, people will look at you like you're crazy. You're a cuckoo bird because you have peace. Well, but you know what just happened to you? Your house just blew down. You just went through a terrible tragedy in your family's life. You know what? But God's still God. God's still on the throne. You know, but you don't know what you're going through. Yeah, but I turned it over to God. Why should I stress out about it? Because you know what? It's not for me to handle anymore. I decided to give it to my higher power, if you want to say it that way. You know, and understand, I don't like the word higher power, but maybe you have to think about that, is that you don't have the power or strength to do it. So give it to somebody who can. You know, some people will use the term, well, that's above my pay grade. I don't really can't make those decisions. Well, you know what? When you can't do it, God can. And all you have to do is, that comes back to the Old Testament, is lean not to your own understanding. You don't have to understand why you have peace. You just do. Why do you have peace? Because God's in control of your life. Well, yeah, but God is my, you know, because I have that little sign that, you know, God's my co-pilot. Well, let him be your pilot, first of all. God should be your pilot, not your co-pilot. You know, God should be steering and directing. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, God's in control. Your life may be spinning out of control, but if you know that God's in control and you can give your life over to him. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved because, you know, I'm assuming you're already saved. I'm talking about giving God your problems. You know, and rejoicing in the middle of them. You know, not stressing out about things. You know, having any anxiety is not stressing out. You know, because it's easy to stress out. Why do we stress out? Because the devil's a liar. Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because he tried to tell us that well, you know, you're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to do that. Well, who says? Who says I can't do this? Who says I can't do that? I mean, you know, that's always my point. Who says that I can't believe? Because it says all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, if I can believe. So, you know, the only person that's dependent upon is me. Not dependent upon you and what you say. Not dependent on, well, there's no way you're going to be able to get through this. But it's not about you. It's not even about your faith. It's about my faith. It's my issue. See, we have to realize that a lot of times people in life, you know, they want to think it like this. Well, if I can find somebody else to believe, I get my need met. You know, if I can go to my pastor and you know, he can believe. Now, I don't know how many times my grandfather, you know, when he was pastor, he said people would come to me and say, I'm going to believe with you. But you do the praying, I'm going to agree. Well, no, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray. He's like, no, I want you to pray so I know how to hook up with you. Where is your faith? It's according to your faith, be it done unto you. You know, you can have what you say. You know, what do you believe? Because whatever you believe, that's what you can receive. Now, do you believe your God is able? Do you believe that he's able to take care of your mess? Do you believe he's able to do it? Because if he can't, if he can't, I don't know who can, first of all. Secondly, if God's taking care of it, why are you worried about it? Do you realize, people all the time, they tell me, well, Craig, I gave it to God. Then I'm like, well, then why are you stressed out about it then? What, God can't handle it? Well, you know, I have to help him. Now, I always should, you know, bring up the fact that Abraham, at the time he was named Abram, you know, he decided that he wanted to help God one day, him and his wife, and they had a son named Ishmael, who became the father of many nations as well, the Arab nations, and then the chosen son Isaac, you know, the father of Israel. You know, but because a man decided he can help God do this, he messed the whole world up. And we're still paying for his mistake. Do you realize that? Do you realize how many men and women, I mean, men and women, Americans, you know, have died because Abraham tried to help God. You know, so, moral of the story, don't help God. Let God help you. You know, and the funny part, not funny, it's not the funny part, but the story is that God told Abraham that he had a chosen son for him. So if God can't do it, then why are you worried about doing it? You know, God's going to make, the problem is it didn't happen quick enough. And that should be a lesson to all of us. Sometimes when things don't happen quick enough, we try to mess it up. Didn't happen quick enough. Well, quick enough in whose book? Well, you know, I got some bills due, and it didn't happen quick enough. You know what? God can give you late fees too. God can provide late fees for you. Do you realize that? I serve God more than enough. He can serve me. He can give me more than the bill. He can pay the late fees too. He can restore my credit. And I believe in a big God. Well, you know, it didn't happen quick enough. Well, you know, if you would have started praying, you know, you waited till midnight, the day it was due. And you know, I know a lot of times, I'm being serious. I know a lot of times people say, well, you know what? People will come home and they'll come up with a plan. Well, if I work this much overtime, and if I do this, maybe I get a second job. Maybe I do this. Maybe I do that. Maybe I can, you know, do one of these stay from home businesses, you know, and call people on the phone and bug them or do something. You know, I can get this kind of money. You know, so we come up and we plan out how God's going to bless us. You know, but it's not for you to plan. It's for you to let go and let God. Let go of your problems. Let go of your issues. You know, and we live in a stressed out country, folks. But I found out America's not the only country that's stressed out. As we travel, every country I go to, people are stressed out. Because life happens. Life happens every day. Things don't go the way that we thought they should go. You know, things happen, you know, elections don't go the way we thought we should go. All these things don't go. And you realize if you want to stress out, you can stress out every day about many things. Was it ever going to quit raining? Was my home going to get flooded? You know, maybe I'm going to have an earthquake hit me, you know, because I saw that movie the other day. And so, you know, maybe it'll happen in Oklahoma. We have more earthquakes in Oklahoma than any other state in the union now. You know, people get all stressed out about everything. You know, it's tornado season. People get stressed out about tornadoes. You know, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be cautious, all right, because I've seen what tornadoes can do. You know, we should all be cautious. We should all take precautions. But we also take authority as well. You know, a lot of times we're busy taking precautions, but we don't take authority. While we're taking precautions, we don't decide, you know what, we can speak to the mountain. We can speak to the storm. We can speak to that kind of stuff. You know, and like I told my wife the other day, you know, when I said a tornado's not going to hit my house, first of all. And if it was going to hit wherever I was, I would know it before it hit because I have a God who leads and guides me. First of all, I'm taking authority over my, you know, and I take it every time tornadoes, even they don't have to come close. All right. I don't have to wait till, okay, you know, the following counties are under a tornado, you know, warning or whatever. I don't wait till they hit the ground to start believing God. You know, I get them as they're coming toward, you know, or even now. As weathermen have been better at predicting, you know, we take authority as soon as they predict, well, this is a great time for tornadoes. And here recently, every time they said it's a great time, it's been a great time for a tornado to hit Oklahoma City. I don't know if you guys have noticed that here recently. And you realize the weathermen knew all that. That's why the National Weather Service there in Norman there, it's not just because it's the University of Oklahoma is there. It's because it's Tornado Alley, you know, And like I said, I keep joking that more needs to change their name to less, you know. Because every time they say the word more in tornado, then, you know, we have less tornado than more. But you know, but you realize that the city developers and stuff, they knew that tornadoes went that way whenever they built the city there. You know, that's another thing. But I've talked to some people that rebuilt their house more than once. I think I would move. but that's just me. Maybe I'm different than other people, you know. You know, some people say, well, we're going to rebuild. Because I talked to one guy, seriously. This is the second time he had major tornado damage. And he said, well, I'm going to rebuild again just like I did last time. I'm like, well, God bless you. You know, but, you know, I don't want to make light of things, but sometimes that's all you can do, you know. But the fact of the matter is, I believe that we should be better at taking authority and not waiting. And, you know, but then again, you know, after it all passes, thank God. God, thank you for protecting, you know, my house, my family. You know, because especially when you know there were a lot of people that had things and destroyed. I mean, you know, it breaks my heart whenever I heard about stuff happening in Nepal. I mean, you know, like I said, the people didn't have anything to begin with, much less, you know, to see some of the rubble. And you know, it's just, you know, we should be more thankful for who we are, for what we have, you know, because, you know, we're stressed out about a lot of things. But then again, the next day we wake up and we're still making it. You realize that a lot of times that we get stressed out about a lot of things, but you know what? I found out that, you know, you think it's in the world, but you wake up the next day and you're still alive. And, you know, most of the time people get stressed out about making payments and doing stuff, but I found out that they usually still have a roof over their head, you know, and stuff like that. I know we've gone through depression, some recession and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? You know, something else too, a lot of times we don't take authority of those kind of things. A lot of times we don't take authority over a lot of stuff in our life. We let the economy rule us. We let other things rule us. Because you know what? But we should be Christ ruled. Because, you know, I found out that the Bible doesn't say you can believe as long as the economic situation is okay. It doesn't say that you can have it as long as the economy is okay. It says that if you can believe, you shall receive. It says, you know, when you're stressed out, just let God have your problem and then have peace. And you don't understand how you're going to have peace. You just have peace because God's remarkable. God can give us peace when nobody else does because he's just that good. He loves us that much. Now, I'm God's favorite, so you can only be a second favorite. No, you know, that's the great thing about God. You know, God plays no favorites. We're all the same, but we can all be his favorite. And we need to know he loves us. You know, a lot of times we try to hide from him. I haven't lived right. I haven't done this. The Bible says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing means your sin can't separate you from the love of God. What people say can't separate you from the love of God, nothing. Because God loves you that much. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for everything you're doing in our midst today. And Father God, help us to be more thankful for everything that we have, and help us be more mindful of other people who don't have what we have. And Father, we thank you to help us to pray more, you know, for the harvest field and for the laborers that go in the harvest and touch these places, you know, these places. We thank you, Father, for just sending more laborers, more people that are willing to go and to bring hope, help, and healing to a lost and dying world. Father God, we just thank you for our RAMA graduates that we just had. We thank you, Father, for what's happening in China, what's happening there. We thank you, Father, for protection and over that area and other places, and protection over some of the Muslim nations as we have laborers there ministering hope, help, and healing. Father God, we just thank you that for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we thank you, Father, that as we're here tonight, we thank you, Father, if anyone here doesn't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, I invite you to know him tonight. If that's you, just lift your hand. We want to minister. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you know who Jesus Christ is. We want to make sure that you make him Lord and Savior of your life. Or maybe you're here tonight and you said, Craig, at one time I had Jesus was my Lord and Savior, but I kind of went my own way and done my own thing. But I want to come home and I want to rededicate my life to him tonight. I want to make him my Savior again. I want to make it more real. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Cross the word to him. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you, Father, if anyone that is here that's not a child of God, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, that they won't be able to have any kind of peace until they come to the saving knowledge of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up. Amen. Well, you know what we do around here. If you desire healing, if you're sick, I don't care how big, I don't care how small, I don't care if you have a cold, I don't care if you've been given up to die because you have terminal cancer, if you have sickness or disease in your body, I don't care if you have a headache, I don't care if you have a cold, and you want healing, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just come on down here if you need healing. Amen. But before we minister healing to these folks, I have a few prayer cloths that we're going to lay our hands on. And I know Greg said he was talking, he spoke on prayer cloths. Many people don't know much about prayer cloths. In fact, over in Norway, whenever Dad ministered to the prayer cloths, and people didn't know anything about it. So in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Now God worked an unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know, we can minister to cloth and it's laid upon the sick. That same power shall go into their body to effect a healing and a cure. Amen. So as we're ministering to these, we're also going to minister these cloth, and these are going to go out. And they're going to, you know, people can lay them on themselves. And, you know, it's interesting. I've had many different testimonies of how someone take a cloth. In fact, there was a gentleman that I prayed for. He had terminal cancer. He was given up to die, only given a short time to live. And it just so happened that his dad was in Tulsa, and before he left, he came down just to the front one day, and he brought me a prayer cloth, and I ministered to that cloth, and he took it back to his son, and his son was totally made healed, totally well. Amen. And said, I mean, it was a matter of a week, and the cancer was gone. They couldn't find a trace of it. Amen. Because God's a good God. Not because anything I did, it's because God's power and authority. Amen. Stretch your hands out towards the cloth. Father God, we just thank you right now as we lay our hands on these prayer cloths, Father. Father God, we thank you that healing power of God, that miracle-working power of God falling on these cloths. And we thank you, Father, as laid upon the sick. We thank you, Father, that power of God shall go into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet to saturate their bodies. And we thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. We thank you for, we come against any foul thing the devil tries to put on them. We come against any kind of evil spirits whatsoever. We command them to go. We thank you, Father, that these cloths are laid upon them, that power shall flow into them and through them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. You that are down here, I just want you to close your eyes, lift both hands toward heaven, and I want you to just thank God. Just thank God for touching your body. Father God, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God right now working in his body. That's it right now. That's it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God working through her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah for the little boy. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the healing power of God working into his body. We thank you, Father, for touching him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We thank you, Father, for healing him. We thank you for making him whole in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God. And in Sobra Basanda, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it now. The healing power of God's working, it's working in your body. We thank you for it now. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, hope you enjoyed tonight. Like I said, it's always good to let you know what's going on around the world, and also try to, you know, be mindful to be thankful. Don't forget about the baseball game. I know some of you aren't baseball fans, you know, and I like baseball, but I'm not a huge baseball fan. But, you know, it's more than a game. It's to come out together, to enjoy fellowship together. And also, we got a good deal. So anytime you get a good deal, that's also good, too, you know. And this is the inaugural season of Oklahoma City Dodgers, you know. So some of you Dodger fans, you know, maybe some, I know some people who are Dodger fans or whatever. It's kind of interesting that, you know, the Dodgers are actually, I mean, Oklahoma City's team's actually owned by the Dodgers. They're not just a franchise. Now, the Tulsa Drillers are also the AA affiliate of the Dodgers, but we're just a franchise. We're independent. But you guys' team's actually owned by the Dodgers, so that's pretty kind of a cool deal. But like I said, if you were a Red Hawks fan, then they're no longer in existence anymore. It's now the Dodgers. It's also a different pro team. But, you know, it's just a fun time to come out. I know last time, you know, we had a good time just hanging out and, you know, just eating hot dogs and enjoying fellowship together. So it's not about coming to the baseball game. You know, it's not about the game itself. It's about the fellowship. So are we selling tickets now? Or sign up is be right here after service. Greg will be here or someone will be here. But I encourage everybody to come. I mean, you know, it's a great time to actually bring somebody. You know, say, you know what? Why don't you come with me? My church, you know, you like baseball. My church, we're going to game. I'm going to buy your ticket. Buy their ticket. You have to, no, that means you have to buy their ticket if you tell them you're going to buy a ticket. If you don't want to buy their ticket, then tell them, you can buy your ticket. And look at this, it's a good deal. You get all these things. You know, and besides that, you're going to get a $5 gift ticket from Brahms. So, and you get a fireworks show and all kinds of stuff. So it's a wonderful time. Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is I'll go to this door because it's just me. And if you don't want to shake my hand, you can go to that door. It's fine. I'll be back here next week. Dad and Mom will be, they'll be in Australia actually on Sunday. Well, actually, I can't really tell you that because when it's Sunday here, it'll be Monday there, so they might be on the way to Samoa. But anyway, you know, that's the deal, because right now in Hong Kong, it's actually 8:37 in the morning, tomorrow morning. And so, but the thing about it is I was there for a week. I don't think I ever got on Hong Kong time. I think I was on Dubai time. Now, interesting part about it is when I was in Dubai, I was never on Dubai time, you know, but my body's so mixed up, it doesn't really know what time it is, you know. So some of it just eat because it's time to eat. Amen. So, you know, something, I don't know when to sleep half the time. So it just really kind of really tricky. And I mean, if you do a lot of international travel, and it's really bad when you go halfway across the world and come back home, and then go back halfway across the world and come back home, and then go back halfway across the world and come back home again. So, you know, it's been really a lot of, you know, torn up my body here recently. Not torn it up, like torn it up, but time, you know, I stay up half the night and don't know what's been half the night, and I stay up half the night anyway, even if when it's not, you know, time zone, but it's a whole lot worse. But I've learned to sleep on airplanes, though, thank God. You know, so that's helped a little bit. Amen. Well, they'll sing a song. I'll come out the door, shake you guys' hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go there, out that door. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week at 6 p.m. If you want to sign up for the baseball game, come right here. God bless you guys.